The Business on RTÉ Radio 1 with AIB. We know that your focus is on your business. That's why ours is on supporting you.
Later in the programme, we'll be looking at the housing crisis. But first, for a different take on that, Mullen in County Monaghan is an old Victorian village. It was formed around a thriving mill in the 1800s with free houses for employees close by. Later, it was a shoe factory. But during the Troubles, the village was abandoned and lay derelict until the Traynor family bought the mill. It's now a thriving village with the Mullen Lighting Factory at the centre of it. Mike and Adele Traynor own the company and they export their lights all over the world. So, what's it like to build a business and rebuild a village at the same time? We caught up with Mike and Adele in Mullen.
Hello, Richard.
Hello, Adele. How are you?
Nice to meet you.
Mike, how are you?
Hiya, Richard. Good to meet you.
Good to see you too. It's beautiful here. I was just arriving and I came through the village of Mullen and it's such a beautifully preserved old village with all of those houses. I noticed one was called White Row and that's all part of the village that was attached to this mill at one time, Adele, is it?
Yes, so essentially it was a workers' village. The landlord that opened the factory, opened the flax mill many years ago, he built the cottages in order to house the workers that lived here and the families that came with it. I suppose after we took over the village for Mullen Lighting, it has kind of since returned to that, where a lot of the families are now that work here are actually back living in the village. Obviously, there was many years in between where the village fell into disrepair and it was abandoned. And slowly but surely over the years, my father-in-law, Michael Traynor, has done the renovations on the houses to make them habitable again and bringing life back to the village.
So, Mike, when your dad bought this place, including the houses and everything, what did he have in mind for it?
Originally, he was just buying the factory premises as additional storage for his electrical business. And with that come the dilapidated houses of the village. At that time, they were completely abandoned, apart from one, which was a guy that never left the village. He'd been here from the 20s and is still here today, thankfully. So Seamus Mulligan still lives there. So,
in doing everything up the way you have, Adele, like what were some of the biggest challenges you had to overcome?
I suppose, yeah, the building itself was quite dilapidated. I remember one time walking through the office and I fell through the floor and it made me rethink my eating habits and also my route to the toilet. But there was a lot of areas in the factory where there were openings so wildlife could get in quite freely. At times we were thankful. We had a mink that used to kind of come in and out of the factory and he was a kind mink because he ate all the mice, which was kind of, you know, good and bad. But as we started to seal the factory up, we stopped seeing him so often, you know, because you used to see him in the river. And we used to have, as I say, some mice and the mink look after them. But I'll never forget one day we were sitting in an interview and there was a young lady in front of us giving a great interview, and we really wanted to hire her, but there was a mouse in the wall behind her, just about 6 inches behind her head. And you know, at that stage, I didn't want to work here when I could see the mice, so I couldn't understand why she would want to accept a job if she had happened to turn around and see it. And you know, we also have bees that come back every year, and we've actually put now, I suppose, devices in place to try and kind of capture the honey and stuff like that. But they come back every year into the same place in the factory, which is nice. So we're trying to embrace them as much as we can and keep others out as much as we can.
We put up board boxes and aisle boxes and we look after the bees and keep them there, but we want to keep them outside the building. So
yeah.
There's a really interesting array of different kinds of buildings here. This one over here, which is part of the factory, has all the original old stonework, and there's a little sort of a top on it, like a church bell. Was it ever a church, Mike?
No, it was never a church. There is a little bell tower there, and that was the bell tower that would have been used back in the day to call the people back from lunch that were in the workers' colleges in the village and even the surrounding areas.
And when the village was, you know, abandoned almost and was quite derelict, really, when you were a kid, would you have come here?
As a kid, the only reason you'd ever come to the village, because it was a dead end, the road was blown up, it was a border crossing, but the road had blown up, which forced you kind of to go through the main checkpoint. You'd only ever come to Mullen Village to avoid the checkpoint. There was a way you could go through the fields to get to Northern Ireland, and that would be our way to avoid the checkpoint on the main road.
Because it's so close to Tyrone and Armagh, the British closed off a lot of those bridge crossings by destroying the bridges and putting up concrete bollards, really.
Yeah. Yeah, that was really it. I know a group of farmers one time took into opening the road again, just to allow local access. And that happened a few times, but in one particular incident, the REC from the north, it came along in a helicopter and fired plastic bullets just down the road here, and someone was injured at the time. You know, thankfully, them days are behind us.
And what does it feel like to breathe so much new life into the village?
Yeah, it's fantastic. Look at when you look at the history of the place and what had happened here, it wasn't great. It wasn't fantastic, certainly at times, and it led to the demise of an entire village and an entire community. But to bring that back, there's over 100 people living in the village now. There's around 100 people working in the factory now. The roads is open. People pass freely north and south. That's fantastic.
Well, can we go inside and have a look around?
Absolutely, more than welcome.
There's all kinds of birds around.
Yeah.
They used to have it to themselves when it was empty. Well,
yeah,
they don't.
That's exactly it. They have the run of the place. You know, they can come and go as they please, and we're in their territory. They're not in ours.
Well, we've just stepped from outside and kind of the old world of Mullen Village into, I don't know, really ultra modern here. There's all of these design screens. This is all part of what is it, the design, graphic design space?
Yeah, this is where we would do our design work, prototyping, and we're right next to the factory floor, so there's a lot of communication between the factory floor and this design office.
So can we have a look around at where the lights are made?
Absolutely.
It's really vast. The place is so big. I suppose it has to be with the amount of work that you're doing and the lights you're setting out. But as a business, Adele, both of you really, but what's it like working with your other half, Adele?
It's interesting. It's not something that we had ever really anticipated. And it was something that we ended up doing accidentally. I was originally working for myself, and slowly but surely I became from a helper into actually working here full time. But it's nice. You know, it's nice we have a common goal together. We have, we're very lucky that we get to work with the people that we love and get to kind of work with them every day, including our friends and family. It means we get to talk about work over dinner every evening, so that's probably...
Mike, that brought a smile to your face. Interesting but not intended. Is that how you'd describe working with herself?
Yeah, no, there was no grand plan to ever work together, but here we are. Look, it's fine. We get on with it. It's not all roses all the time, but you go through difficult spells here and there, but you get over that, you get on with it, and away we go. So
you get those creative differences, is that what it is?
That's what we call them when we're talking on radio, yeah. But I suppose we did strategically a number of years ago divide our, I suppose, our responsibilities within the company. Mike looks after more the operations, design kind end of things, whereas I'm more responsible for sales, marketing and the employee relations side, so that we're not having conflicts of interest in, you know, too many chefs in the kitchen.
And you're both from Monaghan. Mike, you're from just a couple of miles out the road. Have you been together long? Where did you meet?
We met in school. So we've been together 20 years, but friends before that. So it's been a long time, a long-term relationship. So
I think my uncle had a couple of lines in a poem that kind of sums it up. Mike and Adele went to the Debs, and there got worse for wear. Each of them their partner did drop, and they come home a pair.
And you still are since then. And what about career-wise, Mike? When you were growing up and after the Debs and everything, you'd met Adele, did you have any idea what you wanted to do? Your father had been in business.
Well, growing up, yeah, he was obviously in business. And so I kind of grew up with that. And so starting my own business wasn't anything that I found overly daunting, and it's probably something I always wanted to do. I was always using my hands growing up and making things. When I was a teenager, I started to make board houses and little cribs around Christmas and things like that. And I took them then to markets and sold them. And that was it. It wasn't about really selling them. I just loved making them. And then I loved that people loved them. So I'd like make more and I'd almost give them away. But I started out in architecture after college. I studied architecture and worked in architecture for about 3 or 4 years. we went travelling then for about a year and then came back and started Mullen.
What about you, Adele? Were you always interested in going into business?
I was. I suppose I somewhat accidentally ended up in the, working in the community sector just based on how my life progressed out of college. And I just knew all my life that, you know, I wanted to kind of get out and work in the for-profit sector and to, I suppose, be a master of my own future and career direction. I had, I suppose, as a child, done a little bit of an entrepreneurial stint selling. My dad used to work in a woodwork factory, and I used to go in the summers and cut up all his extra sticks that he took home for the house and go out around the road selling them, and he would wonder where the hell it all gone to. So I always knew that I liked, I suppose, making money and having my own kind of career path. So I knew down the line I was going to end up working for myself.
You had travelled, you'd gone to Australia, was it? And a lot of people go to Australia, absolutely love it and don't want to come back.
We were a little bit alternative. And Mike, I had always had a dream of going to Australia, and Mike agreed that we should go, but he said, under no circumstances am I going there by air. I did some research and I found a way of going by bus. So we joined 20 other lunatics and headed off on a 6-month adventure that took us from London to Singapore by bus overland, stopping off obviously in many different places along the way. We took in 26 countries and had the time of our lives, until we got to Australia and Mike realised that we had to fly home, at which point he was not so happy with me. I'm sure he knew along the way that it was coming, but it was 6 months down the road, so he didn't have to think about it. But then when the inevitable happened, it was not a very happy journey, I can say.
You got the tranquilizer gun out, did you?
I bought a Jemison and a tranquilizer gun and that numbed the journey a little bit. All right.
Yeah, there was lots of interesting experiences along the way. I remember in Vietnam ordering a chicken curry, and I knew it wasn't chicken that I was eating, but I ate away, it was okay. And then near the end I found a piece of the meat had the skin still on it with fur on it. And we stepped outside the restaurant and they were cooking rats on a grill. So
I'll never forget the journey. We were leaving Azerbaijan, crossing the Caspian Sea to get into Turkmenistan. And there was no official ferry route, so we had to barter our way onto a Russian sea ferry. As we arrive at the ferry, there's 14 seamen beating the crap out of each other, and they were going to be the ones taking us across the Caspian Sea. For what was meant to be a 24-hour journey, that turned into a 4-day event. We were sitting basically in a holding area just at the Turkmenistani border, because they just decided they didn't want to process passports. Needless to say, we were stowaways, so we weren't actually meant to be on the ferry at all. Thankfully, we didn't run out of water, but it was getting close.
It was all very different to taking a Qantas flight to Sydney, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And when you came back, Adele, you lived in Dublin, and Mike, you had the idea of a lighting company and B in Mullen. When was that light bulb moment?
So there was a company called Carna Lighting based in Galway that existed, and the guy that owned that company, he was retiring. Between myself and my dad, we decided that we would buy the equipment. I was in the architecture game. Architecture was non-existent at the time, 2009. I was eager to just give it a go. There was nothing else to do, so go for it and see how it works out.
So do you remember, Adele, your first client or your first sale, or what was that like when you were starting off?
I suppose we had inherited a number of small clients within Ireland. Those would have traditionally have been people who were opening bars and restaurants in the recession. None of that was happening. So funnily enough, our most popular light back at the very start was a Sacred Heart wall light, if you can all imagine. And everybody in the country was buying them because we needed some inspiration to take us out of the situation we were in at the time. But I suppose the most memorable first client that we had was after our first trade show over in the UK. And it was Jamie Oliver's restaurants, you know, which obviously we all know Jamie Oliver. And for him to be using our lighting in one of his flagship stores, flagship restaurants, was amazing.
Was that a difficult sale to get? How did you land it?
To be perfectly honest, quite easily. We were very lucky. Once we actually started to show our lights outside of Ireland and actually people could see what we could do, they actually came to want us as a brand. You know, they were coming to us. They weren't choosing another brand. It wasn't like for like with a competitor. And they came to us, and it was just so smooth. And it was almost our first it was our first memorable export into the UK. And it kind of left us very hungry for more.
And the whole family, you know, have been involved as well. I mean, were there nights when you were all sort of trying to make a deadline to get something finished in time?
Plenty of nights. Friends, family, neighbours, goats, whatever we could find that had hands on them that could maybe put a light together. We were very much all hands on deck. You know, bearing in mind most of the family and friends were working elsewhere, so it was late nights. Sometimes we'd be here to 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, getting an order finished and packed up, and then at 6 o'clock in the morning hopping in the car and driving to Cork to get it delivered on time. We knew that our reputation had to be that we were on time, because if you failed in the first delivery, you were never going to get a second order. And this was back in the time where, you know, a week go by and you may not get, the phone may not ring, and you'd pick it up periodically to see, was the line disconnected, you know? So we just had to make sure that we had all hands on deck to get the orders out. And thankfully, the family were fantastic with helping us.
And was there ever sort of a moment of exasperation in the middle of the night where somebody said, oh, to hell with this, no?
There was a few of them. I remember day one, the very first thing I had to tackle was burst pipes. It was a hard frost the night before and the place was starting to flood. So 2 weeks earlier, I was in Bondi Beach and I was thinking, what the hell?
The water was a bit warmer over there.
Yeah, it was, most certainly was. But yeah, there's been several nights since that. And I remember my mum, another time, we were very late into the night and things just weren't working out with a particular light we were trying to make. And I had got a job offer from my previous employer out in Saudi Arabia. And my mum turned around to me and she says, take that job in Saudi Arabia and sod this place, burn it down. So...
And of course you didn't. And you've expanded the business. France was a big market for you. Just to explain, what kinds of lights, what kinds of clients do you have?
We have, I suppose we have a mix of clients, but typically the projects that we are manufacturing for are hotels, bars, restaurants, and it's the decorative lighting, the lighting that creates the scene and the ambience. What's quite interesting for us right now is that our biggest business to consumer market is the US, and that has overtaken all of our European countries that we're selling to, which is quite cool.
And is that about publicity, marketing, or influencers, maybe the right people seeing your product?
It's completely that, yeah. We have a number of key influencers in the US who are kind of saying these are a beautiful brand and it's made in Ireland, and obviously the nostalgic connection that a lot of Americans have with Ireland, and they're all kind of really getting on board and then seeking us out.
And who do you have over there that's really sort of helped with, even indirectly, promoting the lighting?
Yeah, we have a number of fantastic influencers over there who love us, and we love them in return. But Amber Lewis, who is based out in California, so she has the number one best-selling interior design book on Amazon, and she loves Mullen Brand and is very much a cheerleader for us over in California. And then another brand we work really well with is McGee & Co. So they are Shea McGee. She is an interior designer who has a series on Netflix, and again, she loves using our product in her projects, and by coincidence then people are coming back to Mullen to buy some of our product, which is fantastic.
And when it comes to designing lights, because you have a lot of interesting clients. I mean, you've done work for shopping centres, hotels in the Middle East, Disney.
It's funny because you see these projects are coming in every day, and sometimes I didn't even hear about this one, and I was walking through the factory and I seen a huge pair of Mickey Mouse ears being fabricated, and I was like, is that Mickey Mouse ears? And someone's like, yeah, we're doing Disneyland in Paris. And I was like, wow. So yeah, we're doing Disneyland. We've done that a few months ago, and yeah, we're doing Microsoft offices in Israel. Yeah, lots of big projects going on.
It's incredible that you're able to set up a business not only in a very quiet rural part of County Monaghan, but that it's a manufacturing business and that you're able to sell to all of these different countries from here. How important was that for you to be able to base the business where you're from and still have that kind of scale and success?
It's incredibly important, and it's something that, you know, when you're looking at it, traditionally this type of product is manufactured in the Far East and imported in cheap and then spread around Europe after that. And you can always turn to that, you can outsource your manufacturing, but we've always found it really, really important to keep the manufacturing here, to keep the employment here, but it's an advantage to us. We've better customer service, we're in control of the quality of the product, we can have an incredibly fast turnaround time, we can tweak the product, customise it, do all of that in a very, very short space of time.
Are you going to keep going with the growth? Do you think there's a lot more potential? Because it sounds like you're doing very well in the US, and that could be potentially a huge market.
It could indeed, yeah. The US has actually taken over as our largest export market in this year. But all our other export markets are growing as well, which is quite positive. But yeah, we are seeing continued growth and continued success in the lighting business. But on the side of that, we are looking at venturing out at non-competing kind of complementary product lines from Mullen as well. So we 2 years ago, we launched a ceramics end, which our team are creating ceramics for the lighting. But we're hoping to introduce tableware and some other kind of products that designers are sourcing anyway, so they may as well source from us, and the colours will kind of suit with their lighting. We're in the middle of preparing to launch a jewellery brand as well, which we hope to set up in the village. But hand in hand of that, we're hoping to help develop the community to make sure that we're making Mullen a nicer place to be and work. So we're in the process of building a children's play park. We're opening a restaurant, which will double up as a canteen for our team, but it'll be a restaurant, so we'll be able to host our clients and events here. And then we're hoping to do some community walkways so that at lunchtime our staff can go out and have a nice walk around, but also in the evening those living here can enjoy as well.
And when you first started, you guys moved into one of the houses yourselves initially. What was that like?
Yeah, well we're still there. So that's about 10 years that we've been living in the village, and it's fantastic.
We're still late for work.
Still late for work. But yeah, when we first moved in, the houses were still a lot of work to do on the outside of them. They look from the outside, they still look somewhat dilapidated. And so people used to come up and just look in the window while you're eating your dinner, thinking that they're looking into a derelict house, but they were very much lived in at the time.
And you've had people show up sort of with cameras and look for a bit of a tour and that kind of thing.
Yeah, Mullen has a very rich past of people, you know, who used to live here, and they have very, very fond memories of it, between coming to dances here. Apparently Val Doolingan was very famous in the time, and he used to play in the local community centre. People who used to live here and their families come back, you know, when they want to see where they maybe lived or worked. And so just randomly people will come and they want a tour, either of the village houses or in through the factory. Recently the local parish priest arrived with a coach load of 50 senior citizens who wanted a tour of the factory completely unannounced, and we welcome it. You know, we really enjoy it. You know, we're quite proud of what we've done, you know, in terms of the renovation and the rejuvenation of the factory.
Well, Mike and Adele Trainer, you've done so much here, and it's been a fantastic success. Congratulations on that, and thanks for joining us on the programme.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Richard.